excellent day for an exorcism.
I understand, all right. You're one of the undead, and I'm a werewolf.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
Hey, Nancy. No running in the hallway.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to episode number 63 of the Horror Crypt Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Paul, and today we are going to be doing a movie that, in all honesty, absolutely made me just rethink my life. No, really, I mean, it made me an absolute, as they say, it made me feel stupid, because it is the very first movie that, as far as I'm concerned, it goes nowhere. I mean, it absolutely starts at zero and ends at zero. There is just nothing. I mean, it was really upsetting because the movie poster was a great selling point. I was really attracted to that, and I thought to myself, well, this is going to be a great movie that I can sit and really sink my teeth into and really enjoy. But unfortunately, it just goes nowhere, and I was really disappointed at it. I mean, it made me feel like an absolute idiot for watching this movie. And in all honesty, I mean, you know, there are movies that you would really wish you could get some, you know, some of your life back. For 89 minutes, I want my life back, because this was not a good movie. We are going to be doing the 1986 black comedy mystery slasher horror film, April Fool's Day. And I'm telling you, if you do not like asinine jokes, if you don't like stupidity, then this movie is not for you. I mean, as I said, I've watched these movies so you guys don't have to. But I'm telling you, after watching this movie, I want to go to each of the people that were in this movie and say, I want some of my life back, please. Because it really, as I said, it starts at zero and ends at zero and goes nowhere. And it was disappointing because, you know, the trailer was very attractive. And I'd seen this movie trailer quite a number of years ago, and I thought, that's a movie that I'm really going to be hunting down one day to see, because I really was interested in it. Unfortunately, I did, and this was the result of me being utterly disappointed in the movie, but I will get to my disappointment. But before we do, obviously, as you heard, we had a brand new beginning of the Horror Crypt Podcast, and would you believe, we are going to be going live. Now, I hear you say, going live? What do you mean going live? Well, we are going over to YouTube. Now, I can hear a group of people out there going, oh, come on. Seriously, you're going to YouTube? Nope. You don't have to follow me onto YouTube if you don't want to. There will always, and there will still be a podcast, the Horror Crypt Podcast here on wherever you listen to me. But I've decided just to up it a little bit, and once a month, starting on the 4th of July, we are going to be doing a video, as a movie review, but it's going to be on YouTube. So you'll be able to come and see my sparkling, smiling, gorgeous face. Oh, hang on a minute. There might be a lot of people that might be deciding that the way I look, though, I might lose audience members. No, don't do that. Yes, no. No, seriously. Come over to YouTube. Funny enough, the podcast is going to be following me over there, and the YouTube channel is The Horror Crypt Podcast. I know, what a concept, right? But The Horror Crypt Podcast. So now there'll always still be a audio recording of anything I do on YouTube. That won't change. But if you want to come and visit me on YouTube and see what I look like and watch me do a movie review, then please come to The Horror Crypt Podcast on YouTube. You can also like and subscribe. There you can also send me a direct message in the comments section of what you thought of the video. But I'm just going to try and branch out a little bit and see where it takes me. But I just thought it might be a little bit different. You know, I mean, I love sitting here doing podcasts, and I can't understand how people sit there and go, well, you need to, you know, go onto Patreon and, you know, do that, because, you know, I need to be financially compensated for the stuff that I do. I don't understand that, because what I do on this podcast, I thoroughly enjoy doing, and anything that I buy for the podcast, it's out of my own pocket. I don't expect you guys to reimburse me for an enjoyment that you get out of what I'm doing. So I'm never going to go onto Patreon, but what I am doing is just going onto YouTube, doing a bit of a video podcast. So there we are. The Horror Crypt Podcast is going video. So look, you know, you can come, as I said, you can come there, you can watch me, you can give me a comment, you can like and subscribe. So whenever I drop it, it'll always be once a month. I'm only going to do a video podcast once a month. So every month you'll actually see a brand new episode coming up, and hopefully it might take off. As I said, you can send me you know, comments there. You can also send me direct messages at horrorcrypt2022@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Facebook at horrorcryptoz. So any which way you look at it, you can certainly find me somewhere. But as I said, the 4th of July, is when I'm going to go live and actually do my very first Horror Crypt podcast. So that will be next week. So there we go. So it's only 1 week away. But anyway, let's get back to this movie, April Fool's Day, 1986. As I said, this movie, I really want some of my life back. Was released on the 27th of March, 1986. 89 minutes is the running total. It was released by Paramount Pictures. The budget was $5 million, and it actually took at the box office $13 million. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the people really were lured into this movie with the poster. They just didn't know what they were going to get when they finally did this movie. And would you believe, and this has never ever happened to me in the history of doing podcasts or watching movies, I literally had to go and read the synopsis of what the hell happened at the end of the movie. I don't know whether I'd blacked out or suddenly just had an out-of-body experience, but I could not work out for the life of me where the hell this had gone and how we got to the very end. So look, as I said, I watch these movies so you don't have to, but if you do want to find this movie and watch it, it's all on you. I'm sorry to say that. Before we get started, remember, we always love to listen to the trailer of any movie that I review. So in saying that, let's listen to the trailer of April Fool's Day.
Paramount Pictures cordially invites you for a weekend getaway at the party to end all parties.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see.
April Fool.
Welcome to my home and lifestyles of the rich and undeserving.
Roland.
Cheers.
Join 8 privileged guests who are just dying to have fun.
Wow, what is this? The bridal suite? You like it?
The ladies.
I found a use for it.
The gentleman.
We did on the first date.
The young.
Well, basically, I possess an essential lack of seriousness.
And the restless.
You are such a jerk.
Everyone is having such a good time. It's scary.
Something wrong?
You dead.
April Fool's Day. Get ready to party till you drop.
So like I said, I had very, very high hopes for this movie, and to quote Bernadette from The Big Bang Theory, it's like I got excited for a present and got socks. That's basically what it is. I got socks in this movie. I was all excited to open up the present. Yeah, got socks. So the film, which was filmed in British Columbia in 1985, April Fool's Day was released in late March 1986 through Paramount Pictures in conjunction with April 1st holiday. I didn't realise they had an April Fool's Day holiday, but you know, we certainly don't here, but okay. It received varied responses from film critics, with some commending it for its non-gratuitous violence and plot twists, and while others lambasted it for its surprise ending. I just can't get through this movie, unfortunately. This is going to be a very, very hard podcast to do. So the movie opens up on the weekend leading up to April Fool's Day. A group of college friends, consisting of Harvey, Nikki, Rob, Skip, Nan, Shaz, Kit, and Arch, gather to celebrate spring break by spending the weekend at an island mansion of Skip's cousin, Vesa, student Muffy St. John. Okay, so I'm going to hear you guys sit there and go, Muffy? Muffy St. John. I guess a lot of them tried to work out exactly what it was that, Muffy actually stood for. We don't really get an idea about that because this movie sort of like it starts telling you something and then it trips itself over to something else. So it really doesn't keep consistently with the plot of what's going on. You still like get little snippets. It's almost like if you can imagine like a collage of a movie and you can see all the the tiles of the movie. Well, it seems to be that there's a whole collage of this movie, but little bits of the tiles are taking off here and there. And it does get to the point where you sit there and go, hang on a minute, so where was this? Because we open up where the car of kids are driving onto the pier, and they're all getting on the boat to go over to the island. And the only way over the island is obviously by ferry. But of course, you know, they're trying to stall the ferry driver, because the ferry driver's sitting there going, well, listen, this is my last trip across the island. I want to go home. And they're like, no, you can't leave yet, because one of our friends, and they're leaving the cars at the dock. So, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, what's going on, but they're just waiting for the other group of people to arrive. And this is when Nan, Shaz and Kit arrive. And then, of course, Arch, where, you know, basically pulls up behind them. And so they all get onto the boat. So it's like, now they're trying to work out what, you know, with it. They're going to go to Muffy's house, but what does Muffy stand for? We don't know. And so as Muffy prepares details around the house, she finds an old jack-in-the-box and recalls receiving the toy as a childhood birthday party. And this is something that goes nowhere. Okay, so you can imagine one of these little jack-in-the-boxes, and you turn, the thing is, and it keeps going like that, right? So as, you know, this girl is sort of like, you know, because she's, Muffy's character, she seems to be sort of like a recluse. I don't know. It just gets to that point, because she's got a housekeeper that basically comes down into the basement where Muffy is sort of like arranging stuff. And she's like, you know, do you want me to do anything? No, I'm fine. Well, what time are they going to be here? Are they going to be here soon? So, yeah, she's basically moving stuff around in the basement. And she's moving these mannequins that are in there for some unknown reason. We don't know why there's mannequins there. We don't know whether they're dress mannequins or, you know, for whatever reason, we don't know. We also see that she actually wedges a piece of wood opening up a window that goes into the basement. We don't know why she does that either. So it's almost like, okay, well, what are we actually doing here? And then, as I said, this is when Muffy sees this jack-in-the-box and recalls that she was playing with it. And when it actually pops open, instead of like a clown or a rabbit coming out, there was like this, it was almost like an alien. You know, in the movie Alien, where the xenomorph comes out and attack. Well, that's basically what it looks like. And you get this scream. And then, of course, from there, we then transition to see that everyone's getting on the boat or under the ferry heading over to her island. So, as I said, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Sort of like goes here, there and everywhere. So her friends, meanwhile, while they're joking around on the pier, awaiting the ferry, en route to the island, as their antics become more boisterous. This is where it becomes annoying. Now, I'm okay when it comes to practical jokes and things like that, but this is a group of, I mean, I'd like to say this is a group of 6-year-olds, but I think 6-year-olds are more intelligent and more, let's say, they're more mature than these kids, because these guys, they're in college, and you'd think, okay, a couple of practical jokes are fine, but this is becoming out of control. You know, one of the girls, and I think it was Nikki, she basically gets undressed and she's laying there basically sunning herself on this boat trip over to the island. And, you know, a couple of the guys are there ogling her and stuff like that, which, hey, I'm a man, that's what I would do too. But, you know, but they're mucking around, and they start this game. Two of them start this game where one throws a switchblade into the ground, or into, you know, where they're standing, and the other one, from where he is, has to bend, you know, as far as he can to reach the knife to pick it up, and then he does the same thing. So it's a game backwards and forwards. I've never played it, but from the way that movie is, I sort of guessed what they were trying to do. So as they're going backwards and forwards, and they're getting, you know, more and more out of control with this game, one of them, it almost starts to be like one of them is starting to get very angry at the other one and says, listen, you know, enough with this. I don't want to do this anymore. And as the other guy sort of like, you know, pushes him out, you know, pushes him away from him, he turns around and he throws the knife into this guy's stomach, who then falls backwards into the water. Well, of course, you know, this guy's screaming. A couple of the guys from the boat run down and they jump into the water to try and find him, only to find that this guy was wearing a sort of like a belt that had a rubber knife, you know, in there, and it was like a blood pack. So it basically showed you that, you know, they were just mucking around. Then, of course, while we're going along, the deckhand Buck is seriously injured in a gruesome incident. So basically what happens is that Buck slips as he's coming up to dock, and the boat crushes his face against one of the pylons. The actual captain of the boat puts him onto a speedboat, and they speed away to basically to hospital. So this is where it all becomes really, really quick. We're going to try and jam everything in to the first part of this movie. Once on the island, it turns out that Muffy has set up a variety of pranks throughout the mansion. We don't know this. This is why it starts to become really annoying, that this movie speeds along. I mean, you know, 89 minutes, but you'll really sit there and go, wow, this is 89 minutes of just stupidity. I mean, they're at a dinner party. You know, Muffy comes in and says, okay, we're going to have a dinner party. And, you know, they're toasting each other. And Muffy, you know, gives them all, you know, a glass of champagne. And when she says cheers, everyone obviously goes to drink. And we find that it's got holes in the bottom of the glass and it spills over everyone. One of the guys happens to laugh and falls off his chair, only to find that the chair has been rigged at the back. So the legs collapse on itself. He rolls over and then the chair basically reassembles itself. So it's this asinine shit that you've basically got to deal with throughout this movie, and it continues. And we didn't know that Muffy had set up all these variety of pranks, and it just, you know, it basically ranges from a simple gag such as a whoopee cushion and a dribble glass, which, as I said, to exploding cigars, to the more complex and disturbing pranks such as an audio tape of a baby crying in someone's room, and heroin paraphernalia in a guest's wardrobe. So this is just, it becomes really, really weird. I mean, we've got the people are like branching off with each other. I think Harvey and Nikki go off with each other, and Yogo and Rob and Skip go into another room because they're just, yeah, they're just best mates. Nan and Shaz, they basically hook up, and you've got Kit and Arch that hook up. So really, you know, you've got these, it's a very, very big, big house, you know. And Muffy, which is Deborah Foreman's character, she starts off really quite okay, but at some stage during the day or during the evening, or actually no, it was just actually during the morning. I've got this movie all back to front. I've only just watched this movie. This is how bad the movie is. One of the guests come down to find what we think is Muffy trying to cook scrambled eggs, but she just looks disheveled and she just doesn't look like the regular Muffy. But as I said, all these little asinine gags are all starting to, you know, go around this mansion. We really don't understand why. It's just, you know, a whole lot of people playing pranks on each other. So in spite of this, the group tries to relax. And, you know, you try to relax the best way you can, because it's almost like you've come to this mansion, you've had a nice meal, whatever, and instead of socializing in the living room or whatever, or they basically tend to pair off and go separate directions. And this is where it becomes really, really quite... You just don't seem to understand. You don't seem to get this movie, because it's almost like this is the movie. Oh, we're going to go to this part of the movie. Oh, we're going to go to this part of the movie. It's like branches out all over the place, and you find it, you got to really watch this movie and try and keep a hold of what's going on, which character is doing what. Because at this stage, you know, Skip goes missing. Now, Skip has been drinking rather heavily, and he's just basically out, you know, having a great time with it by himself, just chilling outside. And as I said, you know, Muffy goes off, so she's gone into her room. We've got everyone else just basically pairing off. So really, you're just coming down to these little, you know, splinters of people doing whatever they're doing, but they're not really doing anything, you know, which is really... This is what the most annoying part of this movie. So we've got Kit and Arch, and they decide to go and try and find where the hell Skip's gone. And in the process of, you know, trying to find someone, now, you know, one of your friends have gone missing. I don't think this is the time to start getting jiggy with it in a boat shed, but, you know, they decide to start getting jiggy with it in a boat shed. And as they're laying down on, well, as Kit's laying down on the ground, you see underneath the floorboards what looks like the dead body of Skip that has been, it looks like he's been there for 6 months. He's just, you know, white and just, he's dead. And, you know, Kit actually catches a glimpse of what looks like his dead body. Soon Arch and Nan also go missing. So everyone's starting to disappear, and we're really not sure why or where they're going. They're just suddenly all disappearing. So during the search of for the pair, Nikki is basically, she's having a whole lot of trouble with the water pressure in her room, and we find that the water has been shut off, so we've got no water. So Nikki's like, well, I'm going to go and get some water. Where can I find some water? Now, obviously, you can't pull it out of the lake, but there is an old well. So she's like, well, I'm going to go and draw some water from the well. And it's of course, you know, one of the guys is like, you know, you don't need to do that. And she's like, well, I'm not going to be, you know, hanging around here for the entire weekend with no water, so I'm going to go and draw the water out of the well. Of course, you know, one of the guys goes with her, and of course he accidentally drops the bucket all the way down into the well. So, you know, there's Nikki going, well, I'm just going to go down, going to walk down the ladder, and I'm going to go and get the bucket. Well, of course, what happens? As she's going down there, she slips. And as she slips into the well, she finds the severed heads of Skip and Arch, along with the dead body of Nan. So, you know, she's screaming and everything. One of the guys happens to come down the ladder and pulls her out and basically gets her to safety. But, you know, you can see the dead bodies are all down the well. So now we're understanding that there's a killer on the loose, that someone's doing this, offing these people one at a time. We don't exactly know where or why, but we're just basically seeing that everyone's getting offed. The remaining group members then discover that the phone lines are dead and there is no way to get off the island until Monday. So they'd already been told by the sheriff, who had come to investigate the accident of the boat hand, that he needed to use their boat to get off the island, and that he would go and basically, you know, see what's going on in the hospital. But unfortunately, you know, the captain couldn't get back to bring them off the island. So basically Monday, that is it. So this is like Friday night. So they've got Saturday, Sunday, they've got to be there until Monday morning. So one after another, members of the group either vanish or get killed before their bodies are found. After putting some clues together, Kit and Rob realize that everyone's earlier assumption was wrong. It also turns out that, okay, I have to do a little thing, which is spoiler alert. As I said, most of the spoiler alerts in this movie is really no spoiler alert at all. And unfortunately, this is going to be a very, very short podcast, because this movie is just so quick and so disjointed and all over the place. It's very hard to keep going on. But as I said, everybody's assumption is wrong. It also turns out that Muffy has a violently insane twin sister named Buffy. I can hear a lot of people saying, oh my god, are you kidding me? Muffy and Buffy? Yep, absolutely. Who has escaped? She's escaped her room. Now, apparently, as we go along, we find out that the group of people that have been in the house all the time have not only been communicating and talking to Muffy, but have actually had confrontations with Buffy, the insane one. And this is where we get the first glimpse, as I said, not the first glimpse, but a glimpse of Buffy, when one of the girls came into the kitchen and there's Buffy standing there going, I just wanted to make scrambled eggs, or I just wanted to make eggs, and then ran away. But she was dressed in, you know, it's almost like she'd been locked up for many, many years, you know, wearing the orthopedic shoes. The hair was, you know, brushed down. She looked very, very ghastly and white, and, you know, she looked very pale. And yeah, so we, you know, got that assumption. And of course, one of the girls did say, man, what's wrong with Muffy? You know, what's with the orthopedic shoes? Well, we now realize that this is not Muffy. This is actually Buffy, the sister. So now this will throw an entire spanner into the works. So are you ready for this? Because this is how crazy this movie is, and this is how ridiculous it just goes around. So in fact, the Muffy, they have been around since the first night was Buffy, pretending to be Muffy. They discover Muffy's severed head in the basement. See, there you go. So we realize now that all the little tricks that's been going around has not been Muffy at all. It's been Buffy. Buffy's been setting all this up, and she has dismembered, obviously cut her, you know, sister's head off, and is left in the basement. Because at one stage, two of the group goes down into the basement, and we find that there's, you know, that window that's been jammed open. And we also see that, unfortunately, as they get into the basement, Buffy comes through and nails the window shut. So there's no way to escape. They've got to come out through the stairs from the basement. Of course, we see that there's someone looking at these two from behind a picture or a painting. And they pull the painting away, and there is the severed head of Muffy, and it falls forward into the arms of one of the girls. So Buffy then chases them with a carved butcher's knife, and the couple get separated. Kit flees from Buffy by escaping into the living room, where she finds everyone else there, alive and calmly waiting for her. So it's almost like she runs into the into the living room, and she's basically screaming at these people. It's almost like they can't hear her, but there's everyone. There's nobody that's dead. They're all just they're just sitting there reading a book, or, you know, reading a magazine, or just sitting there quietly chatting to each other. And of course, this is when Kit comes through and she screams at the top of her lungs into the group of people, and nobody's responding. Yeah, this is how weird this movie is. We find out that it was all a joke, or more accurately, a dress rehearsal. Muffy reveals that she had hoped to turn the mansion into a resort, offering a weekend of staged horror. She even had a friend who does special effects makeup in Hollywood help. Each victim, in inverted brackets, agreed to take part as the things were explained to them. Everyone has a huge laugh. They break out many bottles of champagne, and basically it's Muffy sitting there going, you know, I wanted to really get, you know, this whole thing organized, because I really think this would be, instead of just having this house, I really think this would be a great resort, and it, you know, and anyone can go and have these adventures, but this would be like a really great murder mystery sort of situation. And she basically, you know, shows everyone that, okay, the boat operator was her uncle, and the one of the guests was actually her brother, and then you've got the guy who was squashed in between the boat pylon, that was her cousin, and then there's the police officer, well, that was an uncle. So basically it's an entire family thing, but everyone else, you know, as they were getting killed off, were basically being told that, okay, you've been killed off for this reason, but you have to, you know, disappear, and they just go through the whole lot of arsenine sort of stuff, and it just becomes ridiculous, you know. So later that night, a half-drunk Muffy goes into her room and finds a wrapped present on her bed. There we are. She unwraps it, and the present is a nondescript Jack-in-the-Box. Savoring the surprise, she turns the handle slowly, and when Jack finally pops out, Nan, who knew Muffy from acting class, emerges from behind her and slits her throat with a razor. So, you know, you've got this quick jump scare where Nan comes through, grabs a hold of her hair and rips the, you know, knife across her throat, and there's blood starts coming out. Muffy screams, but then realizes she's not really bleeding, and that Nan used a trick razor and stage blood. Laying on its side, the Jack-in-the-Box winks, and that is the end of the movie. Except that Nan looks at the camera, kind of looks at the camera, sort of looks at Muffy, and says, "April Fool's Day." The movie goes black. And that's the end of the movie. I'm sorry to say, everyone, that description is as quick as the movie is how arsenine the movie is how all over the place that movie is. I was really, really disappointed in this movie because I was really hoping for more. And as I've said, it's almost like Bernadette in Big Bang. I was excited for a present and got socks. This movie could have been a whole lot better, but it was just became a whole lot worse. I'm okay with, you know, practical jokes and things like that, but this movie takes it to a level where it's like it becomes arsenine after a while, and you basically just sit there and go, come on, give me a break. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, one of the guys, you know, gets very amorous with one of the girls. I can't remember, Nikki. And, you know, he's got this, you know, a couple of these hoods that he puts on, obviously for sex play, you know, in the bedroom. And so she goes out because she's basically had enough. She's going to be leaving the island, and comes back in, and he's laying on the bed. And, of course, she's trying to say, yeah, come on, let's get going. And he doesn't say anything. And she pulls his hand away from where he's holding. And basically there's blood there, and obviously he's been stabbed. The door then opens, and then she looks towards the door, and then you see this knife, but you don't see who kills her, and then the movie goes black, and then we go to another scene. This is how quickly it happens, but we don't really understand who's doing it until we finally have the final reveal that Buffy was actually pretending to be Muffy, and Buffy is this girl that has escaped an institution, and she's hunting everyone down. But then we find out at the end that Muffy and Buffy are one and the same. We're just doing a whole murder mystery situation to see if this was like the dry run, to see if, you know, this would actually work to lure people to the island and make a whole lot of money out of the house, which, hey, as far as an entrepreneurial idea goes, great idea, you know. But it's just all over the place. It really is. Look, on a scale of 0 to 5 movie reels, 0 being how to get the last 86 or 89 minutes of my life back, to 5, it was a perfect movie and I would watch it all over again. I've got this movie in my collection. I hope to never revisit it. I am going to give it a half a star. And you know why I'm giving it a half star? The only reason is because it's with my favorite 80s movie girl, Deborah Foreman. She gets a half a star for being in the movie. But outside of that, I cannot recommend this movie. I would not watch this movie again. This would be a movie that if you want to watch it on April Fool's Day while getting drunk, go ahead. If you want to play this in the background of a party, go ahead. But I wouldn't sit down for 89 minutes and to waste my life. I really wouldn't. Before we go on this podcast, and it's been a very, very short podcast, unfortunately, we are going to do Paul's Fun Facts. So as usual, there's a large amount of trivia for movies, and this one is by no means different. This is 40 that I've got here, and I'm not going to be reading the whole 40. I can't even believe that April Fool's Day actually had 40 bits of trivia. One of the bits of trivia is very, very interesting. At the film's beginning, Griffin O'Neill's character Skip is blamed for a prank that turned deadly that leaves the ferryman disfigured. In a bizarre case of life imitating art, O'Neill was indicted on manslaughter charges the following year for a drug-induced boating mishap that resulted in the death of Francis Ford Coppola's son. That is very, very freaky. Who would have actually thought that would have, that's just too close to for comfort, unfortunately. I also find it really interesting that actors and actresses are always basically being criticized for their weight. Amy Steele, Kit, at one point was approached by the producer who voiced his concerns that she had gained weight since the filming had commenced. Amy's response was, "Well, you hired this amazing caterer. Whose fault is that?" Yeah, there you go. See, basically, it's not my fault I'm eating. You've got a great caterer. How about, you know, we can just get a whole lot of chicken nuggets and bloody sit there and eat those and then go to the bathroom. But seriously, I mean, give me a break. I tell you what, there's also this situation of, you really do what you can do for your art. So the interior of the well scene was shot in a tank in LA, on the LA soundstage at the end of the production. The water was dyed to look murky and the crew members discarded their cigarettes right into the tank. That is fucking disgusting. Deborah Godrich, which was character's Nikki, spent so much time submerged in the nasty water that she left the set with an ear infection. Are you kidding me? That is just vile. I'm sorry, that's... can you imagine? No, I can't imagine. I'm not even going to try. So just a couple more fun facts before we end this very, very short podcast. So Linnea Quigley, oh my God, gorgeous, gorgeous, was originally cast as Muffy and Buffy St. John, but she had to turn down the role due to a scheduling conflict with Return of the Living Dead. And I'm telling you what, she was better in Return of the Living Dead. She would have been severely hindered because she was so good as trash in that movie, Return of the Living Dead, that this would have actually really restricted her her acting ability. So thank God, but it would have been awesome to see Linnea in this role. And just one final one, just to finish off the podcast. So this is why I was excited for this movie, because I'd seen the promo poster of this movie in the video store, and I thought this was definitely one that I was actually really interested in seeing. So a hangman's noose was formed out of the letter P and a dagger out of the letter Y in the film's original promo title logo. So it really made it really stand out. Moreover, a hangman's noose was formed out of ponytail hair of the poster's central female figure, meant to be Deborah Foreman, who also held a dagger behind her back. So this is why the promo poster really gave you the sense of something was really a great movie coming up, because in the promo poster you've got the girl, as I said, she's holding the dagger behind her back, she's got a hangman's noose from her ponytail, but she's basically toasting the guest in the room. So this is why it was like, oh my God, this is going to be a great movie. Unfortunately, it really ended up to be a really dismal attempt at a movie. But although this movie has actually got a cult following. Don't know why. I really don't. But apparently, it does. So we're just going to leave it at that, about the fact that due to the film being light on violence, it received frequent airings on late-night television, where it gained a large cult following. Well, as I said, you'd have to be basically drinking quite a lot to enjoy this movie, because, yeah, this movie is not the one that I would, I was expecting a lot more and got so much less. Remember, everyone, next week is the official YouTube airing of the Horror Crypt podcast. There you can come over and see the movie that I'm doing, and I'm going to give you a bit of a hint. Actually, not a bit of a hint. Give me a break. I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak preview. The movie that I'm going to be doing is Wes Craven's Deadly Blessing. I hope to God this is good, because I have seen the trailer of this movie so many times. So I'm going to sit down and watch it before next week's YouTube airing. As I said, you'll get the audio over on this podcast, so you never have going to have to worry that, oh my God, I'm going to miss out on it. I don't want to sit and watch Paul talk on YouTube. You don't have to. You can basically come over and listen to wherever you listen to me. It'll still be on the podcast, but it gives you a different idea. You can either just listen to me, or you can listen and watch me, and this gorgeous hunk of a man will be in front of you, and you can just see what I look like. As I said, this may end up by turning a lot of you people off. I hope to God not. But as I said, it's just going to be once a month, so, you know, we're just going to do once a month and see how we go from there. Anyway, look, thank you very much once again for coming to visit me on the Horror Crypt podcast. I hope you all make your way over to YouTube next week. And look, you know, I'm hoping the movie that I'm going to be doing is going to be half decent. I've got my fingers crossed. So until next time, I will say, like I say every single week, creep you later.